Praise the Lord, everybody. And all you folks on the other side, praise the Lord. That's the Holy Ghost over there, I guess. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you. Let's just stand. Go to the Lord in prayer tonight. If you have an unspoken request, just let it be known by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees every need. Join with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, your abounding love. Thank you for this day and this opportunity to come to your house to worship you, Lord. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for all of your blessings. Father, we come to you tonight on behalf of those who are in need, those who may be sick or afflicted. Father, I pray, God, that you would reach out to them with your healing hand, touch them and anoint them, strengthen their bodies. God, I pray for, Lord, those who are on vacation, those who are traveling. I pray, God, that you would keep them safe from all harm and danger. God, now just be with us in this service tonight. Lead us and guide us and direct us the way that you'd have us to go. Bless every song that's sung, every word that's spoken. Let it be for your honor and for your glory. We'll look to you, Lord, to give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You'll turn to page 393.
Y'all better pray about this.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Jim, if you would come tonight and receive our offering, we prepare to have our special singing. Good to see each and every one of you. You'll just ask the Lord to bless this offering. This offering goes, as you all know, to the Good Samaritan Fund and to help folks and help situations. So let's just pray that God will bless you.
Thank you.
come and dine. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful invitation of the Lord. Sister Brenda, if you would come tonight and start our special singing off, and then Brother Jim, and then Sister Tabitha, if you will, have us a song ready. You pray for our singers. We'll find your key. Come on, Brother Jim.
Brother Eddie asked me if I brought my band with me. I learned a few years back coming into this church, don't come unprepared. You never know when you're going to be put on the spot. So I have learned that. But anyway, I'm going to do an old song for you. Some of you may have remembered, some may have not. And it's called Life's Railway to Heaven. It goes back quite some years ago, all right? But a beautiful song, so hope you enjoy it. Some volume.
Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. He must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curve, the hills and tunnels never falter, never fail. Your hand upon the throttle and your eyes upon the rail. Blessed Savior, Thy will guide us to we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us.
Angels wait to join us. Angels wait to join us.
In thy grace.
In thy grace.
Forevermore. Blessed Savior.
Savior, thou
will guide us.
Savior, thou will guide us.
Till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in that grave forever.
Sister Sylvia with us tonight, and I understand she's a singer. Would you have one you might could sing for us tonight? Putting you on the spot. If not, maybe I know that you was interested in getting in the choir. And all, but maybe in the future. Okay. Okay. Ah, okay. I gotcha. Okay. Okay, sounds good.
Do you have me hooked up back there? I'm going to try. Brother Jim has helped me getting a little device to operate my iPad, so I'm hoping this is going to work. I'm going to try and sing the song that Brother Eddie wanted me to sing. He knows my name.
Stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. What tomorrow will bring, I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of my life, but I know in whom I believe, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. This worked. Hallelujah.
Beautiful song. All right, Susan, come and sing.
He just threw me off, getting me out of my comfort zone with that first song. My mind has just gone blank.
Once a man named Stephen preached about the Lord. Folks were saved and folks were healed as they heard his word. Satan did not like it. Soon he had his crowd. And as he was tried, they heard Stephen cried aloud. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus yonder in the promised land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing waiting for me. As the stones fell on him, beating out his life, Stephen knew he'd soon be through with all toil and strife. So much like the Master, with a heart so true, he prayed, Lord, forgive, for they know not what they do. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus yonder in the promised land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing waiting for me. Through the gates of glory, down the streets of gold, marched a hero of the Lord into heaven's fold. When he met the Savior at the great white throne, I believe he smiled and said, Stephen, welcome home. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus yonder in the promised land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing waiting for me.
I said, God is good all the time. Such a great and mighty God. Well, we certainly miss Brother Jim and Sister Elaine tonight. They're celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. They married very young. And they're in the mountains this week enjoying themselves, enjoying one another's company, and probably having a great time. But we miss them. So if they're listening tonight, just everybody throw them a big hug and a kiss and tell them we miss them. Hope they have a good time. Amen. I want to testify before I get into tonight's message. You know, most of y'all know that Mother has been pretty much bedridden for almost a year now. And she didn't have a really good couple of days, Monday and Tuesday. She had gone to sleep. She had been being a little agitated, so the doctor increased one of her medicines just by a little bit, like a half of a dose. And basically, it just kind of zonked her, so she was pretty much out of it. And then being that much out of it, I guess just kind of sleeping, couldn't hardly wake her up to feed her. And when they was feeding her, she aspirated, so that caused some problems. But we prayed, and the doctor said, take her back off of that one. And the nurse said yesterday, and from yesterday to today, she said it was totally different, like from daylight to dark. Said Mother, or daylight from darkness to daylight. Said Mother was her old self again, and she was kind of chatting away and was awake and much better. So I thank God that God is on call. Amen. You know, sometimes we call the doctor, and that's fine and that's wonderful. But you know, sometimes it's good to call the Lord too, and certainly we asked the Lord to intervene on that behalf, and God did touch her, and she was much, much better today, so I thank God for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. We're going to be looking at some words of Jesus tonight that most of the time when we read the words of Jesus, they're very uplifting, they're very comforting, they're very wonderful to give us hope and joy and peace. But sometimes Jesus gets really, really stern and speaks some things that may be a little hard to swallow at times. And this is what I want to bring tonight. It's not that it's just as important as everything else of all the blessings and all is some of the commandments and some of the warnings that Jesus spoke. And tonight I want to be talking about one of the warnings that Jesus spoke, even in the midst of his message of hope and inspiration and comfort to those who were down on their life and bad situations and all. In the midst of that sermon or message of hope and inspiration was an urgent warning. So we're going to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, in Matthew's account, and we're going to read verses number 13 and 14, and then we may go back up and catch a couple of the other verses as well. But I want to focus tonight's Bible study, or basically lesson, on Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many," everybody say many, "there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth to life, and few," everybody say few, "there be that find it." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for this opportunity. We're thankful for your word. God, I pray tonight that you would just anoint this messenger, anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, speak through us tonight that you would have us to hear. God, illuminate your word to us. Let us understand it. Let us obey it, Lord. Let us be submissive and obedient to it. Father, I pray that it would reach souls. I pray that it would touch us, God, and help us to take inventory of our life. Help us to look at ourselves, God, and be that you would have us to be. Father, we do remember those who are not here, those who are not able, those who are sick and shut in, and we pray a very special prayer of healing on their behalf. Touch them, strengthen them, and anoint them. God bless those who are traveling to keep them safe, and God will give you all praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you love Jesus, give him a great old big hand clap of praise. Amen. How could you not love Jesus? Amen. He's all about love. As I said, Jesus begins here, and you know, that's called the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, different references to it. But as I said, it's full of hope and inspiration and instruction. And I want to go back up to verse number 7. And Jesus says, you know, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." If you've ever heard a message preached on that particular verse, just lift your hand. And that's a wonderful verse. That's a wonderful verse of hope and inspiration and guidance to let us know that God is there to supply our needs, to strengthen us, to help us. And let me see that same hand raised if God has ever come on the scene for you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now put those hands together and give him praise, because he is a God at hand. Simply says, "Ask, knock, and you shall receive, and the door shall be open." Because he says, "Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open." Promises, wonderful promises that God will give us the desires of our heart. He will make the necessities in our life. He will give us those things. Or then he says, "Or what man is there of you?" He points to them. Says, "Whom of his son asked bread, would he give him a stone?" Certainly not. He was making a point. You're going to do good. You're going to give to your family. You're going to give to your son. "Or if he asked a fish, would you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil in blood, in flesh and blood, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets." So the Lord is speaking there. Jesus is speaking in terms and letting them know that God would supply our needs, and God would have us to be good to one another and have us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And then he basically changes gears just a little bit of his message of hope and inspiration, and it turns into an urgent message of warning. And he basically talks about two paths. Now, you know, you might talk to people today, they might tell you there's 100 or 1,000 different ways to get to God. There's not. Bible doesn't give a multiple choice. How many knows there's one way? You must be born again, amen? You must accept Jesus Christ. You must be filled with His Spirit. You must have your sins covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not multiple choice. You can't just go anywhere, do anything, say anything, and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a certain plateau. There's a certain plan that God has and a certain things that we must abide by. But then He mentions these two paths and He gives the analysis of two gates. Now probably the people that was listening to Jesus was very familiar with gates. Gates sometimes were to keep evil out. Gates sometimes were very decorative. A lot of people in those Bible days had gates. Gates upon the wall, and there's all many different kind of gates. You know, they even had gates on the castle, had gates going into the temple. And He mentions these gates because people could associate with what these gates meant. So when He started preaching about these gates, I imagine it would be kind of like us. We'd be reminiscing or thinking about all of these different gates. But He said, there's only two. There's just two gates or two paths. And He said, one gate is very big. It's very broad. It's probably very lucrative, very beautiful, very and enticing to look at. And then He said, there's another gate, and this other gate is narrow. And He begins to say that many, many will seek after this gate that is broad, this gate that is alluring, this gate that is beautiful, this gate that offers so many things that the world can give. But then He says, few there'll be that find this narrow gate. And I was really intrigued with the word find. Because usually when we use the word find, that has to do with something that we have to do on our part, seeking something that we might find. Maybe it's not as lucrative. Maybe it's not as nice. Maybe it's not as big. Maybe it's not as appealing as the broad gate. But yet, it is a gate that few's going to find. And the few that find this gate are going to have eternal life. But He says the many that find or go through the broad gate, that's the path that leads to destruction. Now, I was thinking this week is that, and I have read that many, many times and probably even heard some sermons on it. But it really, really began to get to my heart, because as God called me to be a minister, and a minister means basically is a servant. That's what a minister is. And one of the things that I think a minister does or needs to do or needs to have a burden is a burden for lost souls. Now, I've often said I want everybody that I come in contact with, everybody I meet, everybody I know, everybody I see on the street, I want them to be born again, saved, and on their way to heaven. Can you say amen? I can't think of a soul today, and whether they've liked me or whether they've abused me or anything like that, I still want to see them in heaven. And I want to preach the gospel, and I want to see revival, and I want to see souls saved. I want to see souls come to the altar, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. But the word of Jesus says here, there's going to be many that we're not going to reach, and that's what concerns me deeply. There's going to be many that's going to make a choice, and that choice is going to lead to destruction. Now, Jesus was using this example, but He did not say that over the gate, which is the beautiful gate or the broad gate or the big gate that's so appealing and so alluring, it's not going to have the header that says gate to destruction. Because if it was printed out like that, I would imagine a lot of people would take second thought about going through a gate, no matter how pretty it is, no matter how appealing it is or how alluring it is. If the headline says above the door there, it says leads to destruction. I can't think of anybody that want to voluntarily go to a path that leads to destruction. But yet, if they looked far enough, if they looked and found this small little gate, and I was looking at the different gates, there were some really small gates in that time. Some were just like little wooden doors. You'd almost have to turn sideways to get into the house or into the little wall that was around. And then there was these immaculate gates that could open up and you could drive chariots through. Both of them served a purpose. And Jesus used this analogy to say, you know what? This little gate, this small gate, the one that leads to life and life eternal, and it didn't have the header on it either. It says this gate leads to to eternal life. Because he used the word, you got to seek for it. You got to seek and find that gate that leads. Let me read it again. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Now, when we think of a few, we think of a few people here tonight. But if you use an analogy of the saved people that are in the world today and you put them side by side, the people that are unsaved or the people that don't desire a walk with the Lord, then that's a great number of unsaved people. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not trying to discern whether they're saved or not, but the works will follow them. And there's a lot of people that says, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want that in my life because it interferes with my life. It interferes with my social life. It interferes with what I want to do. I'll go through this gate. Don't talk to me about a narrow way. Don't talk to me about the plan of salvation. Don't talk to me about a loving God. Honestly, there's people in the world that are like that. And what is so alarming to me as I was reading and studying this week, and this is a reality, folks. You know, I believe in faith. I believe in ministering. And I believe in reaching the lost. But in reality, there's going to be a lot of people that go through that gate toward destruction. And honestly, there's, you know, like I said, there's not three doors, there's not four doors, there's not five, there's two ways. There's two destinations. There's a place that Jesus Christ himself went away and prepared that we might be also, or there's a place of torment, eternal torment. We are going to live forever in one of two places, the Bible says. This is the time that we need to seek the Lord and seek him and live in a straight and narrow way. Now, straight and narrow way, a lot of people have said that, you know, and they placed other things on that. That straight and narrow way means you can't do this and you can't do that and you got to do this and you got to do that. Don't listen to man's you got us. Read what the Bible says, amen? Because none of us can live a holy and righteous life without the Spirit of the Lord within us, amen? And every one of us has a past. Amen. Every one of us has a past, and because of that past is the reason we have an open invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Lord, I want to repent of my lifestyle. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to make that choice and that broad gate. Sure, it looked good in my young days. You know what? Just because everybody does it don't mean it's right. Just because the world approves it don't mean it's right. Just because it's socially acceptable don't mean it's correct in God's eyes. And let me tell you something. Satan's never going to tell you this leads to destruction. He's never going to point out the bad stuff. He's never going to show you the back of the billboard. He's always going to show you the enticing things. Come. Come on. You'll have a good time. Come on. You can do this. God is a God of love. Yes, he is. But he's also a God, amen, that wants us to live a holy life. He's a God that wants us to put him first in our life above everything else in this world. And Jesus knew. I mean, Jesus' words here, he's not guessing, okay? And he's not prophesying because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus is speaking what's going to happen. He's telling us. And as I stand behind the pulpit tonight, I'm very concerned. I'm very worried. Who are those people that are going just multitudes out of that broad and big gate? Broad is the way. Oh, lots of people. Lots of folks going down that road. Because they don't understand about eternity. They don't understand that road of joy, that road of self gratification, that road of feeding the flesh, that road of doing whatever you want to, whenever you want to, they don't understand that they're having their good times now, but the end is an end of a destruction, is a path of no return. It's not too late now. You know, I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer in this because it happened to me. You can start down that gate. You can go through that gate and start down that path. But you know what? Thank God you can turn around too. God turned me around. Because I wanted to go with the crowd. I wanted to do the things. I was a teenager. I wanted to do those things. I wanted to enjoy those things. But you know what? Somebody prayed for me. Hallelujah. Lord, it's not too late, folks. It's not too late. Even though Jesus said, many there be, let's don't let our loved ones be one of those many. Let's don't let people that we work with be one of those many. Let's don't let people we live around be one of those many. Let's tell them, let's live a life pleasing unto the Lord before them. Take them and lead them and pray with them. Show them the scripture. You must be born again. You must be saved. You must have the blood applied to your life, because there's only going to be a few that make it. A few that go down that straight and narrow path. A path that probably doesn't look so alluring. Oh, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us out of them all. He never promised us a rose garden. He never said you wouldn't be sick. But he said, if you are, call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. Amen, you can be healed. Can I get a witness? Can I do the testimony? Have you ever been healed? Has God ever come on the scene for you? Sure, it's a tougher road. I'll agree. You know, some people say, oh, it's easy living for the Lord. It's easy if you really put your faith and trust in the Lord. But sometimes that old flesh rears up. Sometimes that old flesh, you know, wants to be seen to and appeased. And, you know, the flesh is my biggest battle. We always say Satan is. Well, Satan uses the flesh. That's what he comes again. You know, he doesn't make me do anything. But he sure tries to allure you to do something. Tries to coach, just like he did Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness after he was baptized. He went into the wilderness and there was old Satan picking at his flesh, you know. But Jesus defeated him with the word. And you can defeat him with the word as well. So, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Is that concerning to a Christian today? Is that concerning to us? Does that mean that we just give up? No, certainly not. We got to keep preaching. We got to keep testifying. We got to keep witnessing. And you know what? If we can just get one, amen, one out of that path and say, no, that path leads to destruction. Come and seek the way of the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, ask and knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Give your life to Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear that because they think, and this is, forgive me, but this is because churches have run a lot of people off. We've made it so hard on them. We've made it so difficult on them. You got to be like me. You got to dress like me. You got to do like me. Jesus didn't say that. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be holy. The only thing that can make you holy is the blood of Jesus Christ, the infilling of his spirit. Amen. And I'm so afraid that, you know, rather than helping those people come out of that narrow, of that wide path, we have maybe shoved them down there. God forgive us if we have. That's not our intention at all. You know, but many of us, many churches have put such strict and guidelines and what man says. And listen, folks. If love don't bring them to the altar, come on. God is love. They got to prick their heart, convict their soul, convict their lifestyle, and then the church needs to welcome them in. Amen? Even the angels in heaven rejoice because a sinner has been saved. Glory to God. And if the angels are rejoicing, the church better rejoice. Amen? So, but broad is that gate. Alluring is that gate. And I thought about one reason the gate is so alluring is because it is wide open. Come on in. Come on in. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life. Do what you want to do. I was talking to a man this week, and we were talking about the conversation got on the things that are going in the world today. How everything that used to be wrong is now right. And that, I said, no, that's not right. You know, if it used to be wrong, it's still wrong. Just because the popularity or the majority says, oh, we can do it. No, that doesn't make it right. God's law has never changed. God's word has never changed. But anyway, he was talking about all the things that were going on. And I said, you know what alarms me? As I get to thinking, how bad must have Sodom and Gomorrah been? I mean, have we reached that point? You know, God hadn't destroyed us with brimstone and fire yet. But if we look at what's going on, we got to think, Lord have mercy, what was going on in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah when all the things were going on then, and God rained hellfire down on them. He rained brimstone on them. We're not there yet, folks. There's still mercy. Aren't you glad God's grace is still outreaching? It's God's amazing grace. If you know someone, and you know what? You're never going to get them in a headlock and bring them out of that path. That's not going to work. It didn't work for you. It didn't work for me. Amen. But if you'll pray for them, pray for them, pray with them, encourage them. You know, one thing about it, some folks, I've heard this testimony. I got so tired of them asking me to come to church. It just got on my nerves so much. I just finally came to church. Well, thank God they came to church. And then they enjoyed it and they got born again, whatever it takes. You know, if I've often said, you know, you can have the best thing in the world to offer somebody, but if you try to put a choke hold on them and cram it down their throat, they're not going to like it. It's like if I had a dog and I wanted him to eat Alpo and I grabbed that dog in a headlock and tried to fit that good tasting Alpo down his throat, he'd bite me. But if I put that Alpo in his plate and I smell of it and I look at him and say, come on, Rover, this is the best thing you've ever had. You know, make it enticing to him. And that's how we're going to have to win souls. You know, you can't force somebody to do it because they're going to, you know, given the opportunity, the flesh is going to choose the broad way. Flesh is going to choose that big gate, that gate of no restrictions, no conscience. Just do, and you know what? We see a lot of folks in the world today headed right down that gate. And, you know, I've had people say, and I do not know why this could ever be consolation to anybody, because they could say, well, I won't be in hell alone. What consolation is that? I don't want anybody that I know to go to that awful place. So tonight, as a pastor, I'm encouraging us to not give up on those lost souls, even though the Bible says there's going to be many. Reality is there's going to be some or many that we won't reach, but we can't quit. We can't quit preaching. We can't quit encouraging. We can't invite them. Can't quit inviting and reading scripture and helping folks. And, you know, they need to see God in our lives. They don't need to see First Pentecostal. They don't need to see Eddie. They don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus Christ in our life. And maybe that will be something that will be enticing to them to let, you know what, I need to make a change in my life. And I've heard people say that, you know. But the thing about it, when they say that, they keep going down that broad path. You're going to have to make the decision. No, that's it. I'm not going anymore. I'm going to turn unto the Lord. I'm going to walk in His statutes. I'm going to walk by His precepts. And I'm going to dedicate and give my life to the Lord. That's what I had to do. I couldn't say, Lord, I want to live for You and continue to go down that path. That doesn't work. If you want the Lord, He's going to be first and foremost in your life. He's going to be the greatest priority. And you know what? He deserves to be. Amen. He bled and died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. He knew me. Amen. He knew my name. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And so were you. So let's keep preaching. Let's keep singing. Let's keep worshiping. Let's keep praying for those who seemingly just unconcerned about where they're going to spend eternity. And the Bible says there's two places. There's two choices. There's a right and a wrong choice. There's a narrow gate. Few's going to find it. There's a broad gate. Many's going to find that and go through it. Road to destruction. Don't let your relatives, don't let your loved ones be part of that many that goes down that path. Amen. So we got work to do, church. Got a lot of prayers, got a lot of testimonies, and got a lot of folks that we need to lead to the Lord. And let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for those who are in harm's way. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. We're so glad to have all of you tonight. If you would stand, we're going to open this altar tonight. If you need prayer, whatever the case may be, then we believe that God is able to meet all needs, whether it be sickness, whether it be anything whatsoever. You know, ask, amen, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened. So as you bow your heads, is there one tonight that come to the altar that you need prayer? I will assure you the elders will pray with you. Praise God. If you have a special request, just lift your hand and this pastor will see, and I'll be praying this week. I won't ask you what it is. You and I'll be praying together for it, because you know what it is and God knows what it is, and I'm going to help you believe for it. So let's just pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight. Father, we're so thankful for your word. Pray, God, that it will be a master and a guideline to us, Lord, that we won't falter and fall by the wayside. And God, we will bring as many as we possibly can reach. God, there's souls out there right now, Lord, who are lost, souls who are unconcerned. And Father, I pray that not only this church, but churches all over this world would get concerned about soul winning. God, and bring those to an old-fashioned altar of repentance. God, to Lord, let you live inside their life. Let you clean them up. We can't clean them up, God. That's not our job. We're just going out, Lord, and trying to get as many lost souls away saved as we can. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for this body, God, that people will see that there is an alternative way, an alternative lifestyle to the things that are going on in the world today. And I pray, God, that you would bless us, Lord, and let your light shine through each and every one of us. And we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. But we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. May God bless you. We appreciate you coming out tonight. Have a wonderful evening. Don't forget to be here Sunday morning. Time in the Lord.